Now the question is, where does all this, like with China and Russia and all these other things, where does that fit in relationship to prophecy? Because it does look like it's happening really quickly. And we've gone through how many times false alarms, a return of Christ, and all this sort of thing. So how does all this fit in? Because we're way past the time any of us thought it would be at the present time. Currently, we have some people who are saying that Christ is coming in 1997. I heard that the New Age movement has it that they will have everything in the world under their control in 2004. I've heard of all kinds of different chronologies and different things. So what I want to do is just ask a question. Why doesn't it necessarily follow with the things that we've been told here? And the reason, I think, is that we have not given enough credit to God in how much he's going to let happen, nor have we understood how far God is going to let Satan go. I mean, is there anyone who says that they can know that? No, we can't know that. So here's something I was thinking of the other day while driving. Okay? The fall of Israel was in 718 to 721 B.C. So go ahead and write that down. And then over the top of that, write 2,520. 2,520 years. Now, that's supposed to be the seven times punishment. You get that in two places. You get it in Leviticus 26. You get it in also Daniel, the fifth chapter, with the fall of Belshazzar. Okay? Now you subtract the 718 from the 2,520, and you get 1802, and then you add 1 year to it because there's no year zero, so you come out to 1803. So I'll just go ahead and make that change right here on the board. 1803, sorry, Judy, for the dust. I'll try not to make much dust. Okay, 1917. Yeah, that's it. 17, 18. All of these things, whenever you have these numbers, whenever you have these numbers, remember that you can go 1917/18, or it could be 1918/19. So in effect, you have a two-year sliding thing it's awfully hard to put your finger on. Okay? Now, if we take the same thing with the fall of Judah, which the first invasion from Babylon was in 603, 605, somewhere right in there. 605, 604, somewhere right in there. So we'll just say 603 to 586 BC. That brings us to 1917/18. Now, we've understood that it means that when Israel, the 10 tribes, were taken out, they were under punishment for 2,520 years to not have national power, or the lack of national power and prominence. And I think that that is generally a true statement. The same way with Judah, that in 1918 they got back part of the land. At least they were allowed to come back in greater numbers. So people have said, all right, we'll take and we will add on. It never really quite works, though, because in 1948, then, which is 30 years later, okay, that's when they got their nationhood for the Jews. So that's 1948, and then some have said, well, 1988 is another 40 years, or you can take 1919 plus 70 years. So there are many different things you can do with figures and try and come up with things, but they all don't somehow seem to work out. However, this 2,520 years coming to 1918 or 17, however you want to figure it, and the 2,520 years coming to 1803, if you apply both of those to one to Israel and one to Judah, you come up with some reasonably accurate historical dates. Okay? Now, what about Babylon? And I was thinking on this the other day, what about Babylon? Babylon the Great is going to be a fantastic thing. We'll get into some scriptures in it in just a minute. But if Babylon fell in 538 BC, then what if we do exactly the same thing that we did with Israel and Judah? Okay? Now, there's some doubt. Some say it was 536. Some say it was 540 BC. So there's a two-year, either way, total of 4 years. So if we take the 2,520 years as the times of lack of power for Babylon, and we subtract the 538, we come out to 1982. Now, what happened when Babylon was starting to rise as a power back during the time of Judah? And, of course, you have Assyria. You have all these. There are so many different things involved in it. Okay? Israel was going down and Judah was going down. Now, if we take the length of time, I want to focus in on Babylon here, and if Nebuchadnezzar came to power in 605 BC, and he's the one who came and conquered Judah, and his kingdom lasted until 538, which was the fall of it, then we have a total of 67 years. Now, what does that tell us? I don't know. I'll be honest with you, other than the fact we have 67 years. Now, if we come to the end time, and we say that God gave power back to Israel through Ephraim and Manasseh after the 2,520 years, and God gave power back to Judah to be able to have come into the promised land, and then after another 30 years be able to have their nation at the end of 2,520 years. What's going to happen at the end of 2,520 years for Babylon? A whole different system. So could it be that what we're seeing now in the world scene is that we are seeing Babylon the Great all being formed? Bit here, a bit there, a little more added here. Now all of a sudden we're getting all of this very rapidly coming together. And what is that going to lead to? Okay, that's going to lead to, you know, Babylon the Great at the end time. Question, which we don't know, see. And this is where all of these different prophecies I've read are they can't answer. How long does it take for Babylon the Great to come to power? Don't know. Because Nebuchadnezzar's father, Nabopolassar, Nabopolassar, I think it is, Nabopolassar, Okay, got it almost right. That's not bad for a bad speller. Okay, how long was he? Was it 19 years that he was coming to? 625 to 605. Okay, 20 years. I was going to say 19, so my memory serves me pretty good. Right, he was 20 years coming to power. Okay, this gives us a total then of 87 years, the 67 from 605 when Nebuchadnezzar took over to the demise of Babylon in 538. This gives us a total of 87 years. And that was for the first Babylon. question is, which I can't answer, so I want to leave it as a question so we can do some watching. Okay? How long has Babylon the Great at the end time been coming up in prominence? Question, could we have a start of it with the United Nations? I don't know. Possible. I'm not going to discount it. I'm not going to say absolutely. At the end of the 2520 years, we come to a very interesting date, 1981/82, and the United States begins falling as an economic power. No. Let's go to Luke 21, and let's see an interesting statement here by Jesus, which most of the Protestants have it totally wrong. Protestants said that the time of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, actually, the times of the Gentiles actually began with the fall of Israel. But I think that there's an end time, times of the Gentiles, which has to do with the rising of Babylon the Great into prominence and power. And of course, it doesn't happen all at once. I don't know why we ever got into the mentality that all of this is going to happen in an instant. See, and all of a sudden, one day, the beast power is going to be there, and we'll recognize him immediately, and one day they'll haul us in to put on the mark of the beast, and we will immediately recognize that. You know, sometimes we've had this mentality, so I'll watch out because I'll know when it comes. But Jesus said, watch. See, you don't know when. Okay, Luke 21. Okay, let's pick it up here, verse 20. Oh, let's go back a little bit more. Let's go back, because we're seeing a lot of these things right now. We're going to read it here in Earth Week in just a little bit. Okay, let's pick it up in verse 8 so we can... His rendition of it's a little bit different than Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Verse 8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived. Now that'll be an interesting study. Let me write down here on my sermons. That might be one to give. Be not deceived. Okay. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The time draws near, go you not after them. When you shall hear of wars and commotions there means revolutions, upheavals, little Lebanons here and there and every place, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Now, this is kind of a funny word in the Greek. It means it's not going to be immediately, okay? Not by and by. So when they translated by and by, they gave the meaning, it's an indeterminate amount of time that these things are going to be happening. Okay? Not by and by. And he said to them, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. We've seen all of that just going on for, you know, as long as I can remember in my lifetime. That's been going on, hasn't it? Sure it has. Okay. There shall be great earthquakes in different places, where we have all of that, six of them last week. Famines, we have famines going on right now, don't we? Sudan, Ethiopia, several other places in the world. And pestilence. Now, pestilence is sickness and disease. And, of course, one of the most notorious we have now is what? AIDS. And they found out that some people can carry that AIDS virus undetected for up to 4 or 5 years, perhaps longer. So who knows? Okay, there are others. Now they're worrying about TB. And how many times, we just look back at the reports we've covered on some of those things, you know. And what have we said? We've said, watch out, this is going to be a problem. Watch out, this is going to happen. Sure enough, they're happening. Okay? And fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Now, I don't know what it means by great signs. I think a lot of people laid a lot on Halley's Comet coming in, and they could hardly even see the thing, you know. No great big deal. So, I don't know what great signs we're going to see from heaven. Can we say that the astronomers discovering great things that they see through their telescopes out there? That those are some of the signs? I don't know. I'm not going to say no, but I'm not going to say yes, because not all of us have a big telescope. We can run around and see the things going on in the heavens, see? Okay? But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, that's not happening on a mass scale to anybody who gives a witness and testimony of Jesus. Sure, there are some who are going to jail here and there. Yes, there are two Mormon missionaries were slaughtered. Whether they were really preaching the gospel or not is another question. Highly unlikely. Okay. So we don't see that happening yet. And he says it'll turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which you all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. And you shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. We see more and more of that happening. How do you solve the crime? Well, you call in with an anonymous report. That's how it all starts. And then what happens? Then it starts happening against people who then preach the truth. Now, in Sweden, they already have it. Will anti-hate laws make you a lawbreaker? So it tells about a minister in Sweden who got up and said that homosexuality is wrong, an abomination, and perversion before God, and he got arrested and was thrown in jail. Okay? There is a case. But it's not happening very broadly in the society, you see. But it'll happen here. You wait and see. It'll happen sooner or later. So we're not at the point that all of this is going on. But believe me, when it comes to the point that all of this is going on, down to the last detail, better be careful, because it may be too far into it, okay? You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, that's true. Everybody hates Christians anymore. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now there have been armies around Palestine, if you could put it that way, or the area of what is called Israel today, for an awful long time. So what does it mean, surrounding Jerusalem? How close do the armies have to be? I know I've asked these questions before, and I still ask the question. It doesn't tell us. It says, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. So in other words, they are invading. They've encircled and they are invading. And you don't want to wait till you see the invading armies before you decide, you know, the tribulation has begun. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, does this tell us when the times of the Gentiles begin? Nope, it just says till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Okay? How long does it take for the times of the Gentiles? That's my basic question, which I'm going to try and answer and get back to this China thing. How long are the times of the Gentiles at the end? Is it, when did it start? Okay, if we could look at a couple of dates, you can, you know, you can do wonderful things with figures, but don't set your heart on any of them, okay? We can say, did the times of the Gentiles start in a small way with the United Nations? Now, when did the United Nations begin? 1947? 1947, one of the first things they did was make Israel a nation. Okay, 1947. Okay, let's just do a little playing around with some figures. Don't put any hopes on it. Let's just take the 67 years plus the 20, so we will add 87 years to 1947. 14, carry the 1, 13. So we come up with the year 2034. Okay? Is that how long the times of the Gentiles at the end are going to be? Is it going to equal what Babylon was in the beginning? I don't know. I don't know, brother. Okay? If you take just the name of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, let's take the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, because he was the head of gold, right? Okay? 605 to 562. Okay? What happens if we, that's 43 years altogether. Okay, is the end time times of the Gentiles going to be 43 years? And if it is, where does it start? I don't know. Okay, let's just take another little figure. Okay, if our 1981/82 date is correct, we add 43 years to it. We come 4, 12. We have 2024. So you've got 10 years difference between the two. Now, I'm doing this just as you are as we're going along here. So, I'm kind of thinking out loud. Just sometimes, if you ask a lot of questions, then you may know which is the right one to ask. See? Because you don't know. Now, we know this at the end. We know from Daniel 9 that we have 7 years at the end, of which 3.5 will be what the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. How long does it take to build things up to where the beast power is going to take over? I don't know. I don't know. Now, let's begin to come back to the original question. What is going to happen because of the events in China and in Russia? How is that going to fit in with what we're doing here in the way of trying to understand prophecy? Because, wow, some of these things are happening really fast. I heard on the news on the way up, they send the troops in there, and they wounded about 1,000. They killed about 60-some-odd. And it's interesting that they have the Chinese Statue of Liberty now. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to fit in, but it's interesting that it's a woman, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goddess of freedom, the goddess of democracy. There are a lot of different things you could have in there, you know. I remember the first time I read Alexander Hislop's interpretation of the image of the beast when he said it was going to be the statue of Mary, and I kind of scoffed at it, but I'm not too willing to scoff at it too much now when you hear Protestant ministers standing up there in some pulpits praying to the goddess, mother of us all. See. So just exactly how these things are going to work out, it'll be interesting. Another interesting comment was that during Bush's trip to Europe, the United States has decided to focus in on having Germany be the leader instead of Great Britain be the leader, and that's why they had the very frank talks at number 10 Downing Street, I guess, you know, and I read in the Spotlight that there's a movement on to dump Thatcher, so who knows what's going to happen there. But I think it's very interesting that a lot of these events are taking place. Now, let's go to another principle here in the book of Revelation, which has to do with the beast. But I want to expand that just a little bit in our thinking. Just a little bit in our thinking. Okay? Revelation 17 and verse 17. Now, it's talking about the beast. It's talking about the powers. And I think to answer your question, what is happening in all these nations? Is God doing this? Is God stirring up, say, the Chinese to have democracy? We know it can't happen unless God knows that it's going to happen. I mean, that we know. See, nothing happens that God doesn't know. I would have to say, to fulfill the end time prophecies, my basic answer would be yes. Not only there, but also in the Soviet Union. And I remember reading in the Catholic prophecies that in the end time, Russia would be converted. And I thought, oh, when I read that 15 years ago, oh, poo-poo. Never happened. Today I would say, that's the only way the communists are going to save their power. They are dead men. They are through. Yes, all of a sudden. Okay, verse 17, let's read it. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Whatever a prophecy of God is, it's his will, right? Okay, to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Well, I think that has directly to do with the 10, obviously. But could this also apply to many of the other nations? Why couldn't it not apply to many of the other of the nations? Okay, let's go back here to Revelation 13 for just a minute. Revelation 13. And we've covered this before. We've covered this before about the beast and the power of the beast. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That's the ultimate thing that's going to happen. And, of course, there is war against Christianity right now. Any form of it. It's not where they're shooting and stabbing and killing yet, but it could be in a very short period of time. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. When we look at the cycle of history, when do you have a dictator take over? In chaos, when what has failed? Democracy has failed, yes. Could it be that all this move toward democracy is going to free up all of these nations? Now, we need to think beyond just the one statement, see. What if this move to get all of these nations under democracy leads to a greater United Nations control? Obviously, no one is going to want a dictator now, right? What is the cry today? The age of the dictator is over. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down the wall. You know, the Chinese can't even get their own people in control. The citizens of Beijing run out there and stop the army. Unheard of. I mean, it's amazing. Okay? But it also leads to greater economic performance and riches and things like this. Does that also fit in with Babylon the Great at the end time? Yes, it's a great merchandising thing. And what is the enticement to the Soviet Union and China? Come and join the community of nations and join the economics of the world global economy. Okay? and have it so that your people are free. Now, what I think we're seeing here is this. Many times we look at some things and we say, one cancels out the other, but how about if we add them all up together, all of them? There will be a form of democracy. There will be a form of peace. There will be prosperity. I mean, we've heard for how many years now that we should be in the throes of a depression right today, right while we're sitting here. And I can tell you right now, knowing enough about economics, that the Japanese are not about ready to sell all of the U.S. Treasury certificates they have. And the United States is not about ready to do in Japan, so they won't buy them. So as long as that exists, there's going to not be a collapse. So what they're trying to do is get the whole global economy up and running good enough so there won't be a collapse. But eventually, it's going to come. So we have prosperity, we have peace, we have democracy, and all of these things are happening just like a rapid whirlwind thing. At the same time, what do we see? We see an unprecedented statement by George Bush saying that we are making history to help have a free and democratic Europe. And what's coming in 1992? United States of Europe. Okay? I just saw that on an economic report here, last week, week before, I forget when. And it was on CBS, of all places. Who are we asking to be the leader of this now? Germany. That's right. Now, let's look a little bit more at Europe. We've got the 1992 date for them to have their economic trading combined, virtually one nation like the United States. You can come and go. You don't have to have passports. They will have a single currency. It will be the European, whatever they call it, European euro dollar. No, euro dollars, United States dollars that were printed after World War II to fuel the Marshall Plan and foreign aid. All they did was just print dollars and ship them over to the banks over there, and they use that for cash reserve. So those are what are called the euro dollars. They aren't backed by anything. Not backed by anything, see. So it's the EU, the European unit. The EU, I think it is. Okay? Now then, at the same time this is happening, Britain is asked to back away. And also, Thatcher is not willing to give up sovereignty to join. But what else is happening? What happened in Moscow this last week that affects Europe? Gorbachev got chewed out. What else happened? I don't know if you saw this. One of the leaders from Estonia, who was elected to the new Congress, got up and read the protocol of the secret Nazi-Soviet agreement of 1939, which gave the Soviet Union control of Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. Now, how are the Soviets going to be able to honor that when it was made with their arch enemy? See? I see those countries coming out from underneath the Soviet control. Who would have thought of that 5 years ago, 3 years ago? Yes, well, if Gorbachev is apologizing, you know he's only doing it to keep power, and because once the people have tasted freedom, you aren't going to take it away. Right then, you got to give it to them. Later, you can take it away in extraordinary circumstances, but not right now. So we have all of Europe coming together. All of Europe coming together. All of the so-called Eastern European countries are now coming out from underneath the dominance of the Soviet Union. Here is this huge conglomerate of nations now coming together as one. But they're not one because they're divided. Let's go back to Daniel, the second chapter, and let's read a little bit here about this end-time kingdom. And, of course, in Daniel, the second chapter, we have to understand something very, very completely on this, and that is that the whole image from head to toe are variations of the same system. Variations of the same system. Verse 38, the last part it says, "You are this head of gold. After you shall arise a kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the world," all the earth rather. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, as iron that breaks all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But yet at the same time, as long as iron and clay stay together, it is what? United. And there shall be in it the strength of iron, forasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron, part clay, so shall the kingdom be partly strong and partly weak." Isn't that exactly what is happening in Europe right now? All of these little weak nations are beginning to join it, right? "And whereas you saw iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron does not mix with clay. But they shall mix long enough to stick together. They shall stay long enough to get together." Now, let's go to Psalm, the second Psalm. And this is one that every time I see some of these things on TV, oh, by the way, all good Muslims were told to pray for the Ayatollah today, that he might overcome from his surgery that he had. He's having complications because every time I see things about Iran and see him raging in the street and see Lebanon and see him raging there, see him raging in the streets and wherever it is, I think of Psalm, the second chapter. Okay? Verse 1, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cut their cords from us." In other words, independent from any control of God. And that's what democracy is. You can be what you want to be. That's what self-esteem is. Love yourself more than anything in the world. Forget God, forget your neighbor, just love yourself. Okay. "He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, you are my son, this day I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. And you shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Tie that in with Daniel, the second chapter, of the stone that was cut out without hand, which what? Smote the image on its feet, and it fell. Dashed them to powder. Okay, so I think we're sort of combined Psalm 2 and Daniel 2, and we're coming to this great, huge Babylon that is going to be, as far as men can see and its effects, because of the brilliance and power of Satan behind it, it is going to be really dazzling. I think really dazzling.
You know, in the way I look at
this. Yeah, I think as far as this going on, we're past the foundation stage for the great Babylon at the end. But you see, we don't know how great is it going to be. See, we don't know. That's the thing that's so important. I know I forgot to bring it, but in the paper yesterday in the San Jose Mercury News, you may have heard it on radio if you were driving in the car or if you listened to Paul Harvey, but they now have a way of gene transplanting that is simple. You just take merely the characteristics you want, and you let it soak in sperm, and the sperm absorbs the characteristics that you want. Voila! You have impregnation of the egg, be it an animal, be it a human, and you get what you want. And you have then permanently changed the species, and these genes become part of the next generation's offspring. And you do not need any great scientific thing to do it. You do not need needles, microscopes, and all of this sort of thing. You just don't need it. Where will this lead to? I don't know, but I'm sure it's not going to stop. I'm sure it's going to lead to every abominable thing that man can do. Of course, initially it's for good. Everything Satan does initially is for good. Listen, Eve, you eat this, you'll have a benefit. It's for your good. See? You'll be wise. It's the way Satan starts out. It'll be for your good. Think of all of the diseases we can stop. Never ask the question, why did they start? See? Yes, Hitler had a fling at this very same thing. Why? Because he was obviously inspired of Satan. See? Same thing. Who knows? If there's enough time, maybe we will end up with what you might call the super race. I mean, a lot of people, and I've said it. I've said the beast must be alive somewhere on the earth. What if he isn't yet? What if the beast has not yet been created? What if he is really a child of the devil? Not from Rosemary's Baby type of thing, but I mean from this type of genetic engineering where you truly have a Satan-inspired and caused to be born superhuman being. Now, that may sound a little heretical to some people who want the Lord to come tomorrow, but wouldn't human beings be absolutely, fantastically enthralled with this human being? Let's go another couple steps further. Let's put in a couple computer chips into him. Let's go another step further. Let's have some renegade almost kill this marvelous man. But he miraculously survives and is brought back to life. Now, maybe I'm talking too much science fiction, but I don't think so. And again, and how many times have we gone back to Genesis 11? We won't turn there, we know it, but how many times have we gone back to the one sentence which says, and now this they begin to do, and nothing that they imagine to do will be restrained from them. The question is, would God let them change kind after kind? I think he would. I think so. The only thing that God will not allow is the physical destruction of the earth. I mean, they're already doing some of it with some of these cancer-fighting drugs that they have. They're taking genes from plants and mixing it with human genes so that you can kill certain forms of cancer. Come over, you look. I mean, you have to stop and think now. How many times have we looked at these things, so-called mythology of the past, these half-man, these half-beast type of creatures? And we said, oh, the figment of the imagination. Was it? We don't know.